Mike, we've met before.
Briefly.
You know, when we met Mike, we met him in a Ramcota bar right before we went on that bingy tear that ended at the and back at the Ramcota bar till 3 a.m. Oof.
Yeah. Well, I met Mike on the Senate floor first, I think, with my dad. Okay. So it was a little more respectful.
The whole bar thing didn't sound like me. I was probably at the orphanage painting or reading the kids or something.
For the record, you met us in the beginning of the binge drinking before Ryan Budmeyer influenced us all.
Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
Land ownership is one of the things that sets our country apart, I think, and one of the things that's made the great American experiment, you know, possible. So that's very important, and we need to really balance that against what is our state's number one industry, which is ag, and $6 corn is a whole lot better for our state than $3 corn.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
It's draft. Well, I guess draft night was last night, but it's draft week. Jake, in South Dakota, we're 40 days out from drafting a new government.
We sure are. It's getting real close. We're about 6 weeks away from a new government for pure South Dakota.
So thank you for coming on back. It is South Dakota's most listened to political podcast with Jake in the East. I am Murdoch in the West, and this is Dakota Town Hall. Hey, speaking of the draft, can I give a quick good luck? We got Tip Ryman out from out here.
Sure.
Technically, this is good for South Dakota. He played a little bit at, I want to say O'Gorman, and he played a little bit at St. Tommy Moore out here in Rapid, and he was a tight end at Illinois, and he's maybe a draft, maybe a round three pick for tight end.
Man, so, he's bought and paid for by the Catholics in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put a Catholic tight end. It's just what the NFL needs, Jake.
Well, we're getting back to our candidate spotlights. We have two this week with our show. First up is going to be former District 33 representative and current candidate for Senate in District 34, Taffy Howard. She's with us now. Later in the show, we will have on Mike Walsh from District 35. So joining us now, Taffy, how you doing?
Good, and thank you so much for having me on. It's a blast.
Brave of you to come on the rhino megaphone, or whatever they call us, honking and braying. Is that what is that what the line is?
I don't pay attention to that. I don't know what they call you. So, I mean, don't get me started on a certain East River blog. And
hey, we can absolutely talk about certain East River blogs. That's why part of you're a little clickbait in you, Taffy. That's good interview.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mind.
No, I
occupy space in certain people's heads rent free, and that's okay. I'll take
sure.
That.
You get a preconceived, you know. I mean, I'm sure I've done that to you before. I've pegged you with that CFL group maybe more than you'd like to be from time to time.
Yeah, I try to say I shouldn't be pegged with any group. I'm a limited government conservative, and that's how I'm going to vote when I go to peer. When I go door to door, that's what I tell folks. I'm like, you know, I'm a limited government conservative, and I have a record to prove that I don't just say that and then go to peer and do something else. I mean, you guys know I was on a budget on appropriations for 6 years, and I'm not afraid to say no. And some people don't like that, but I think in government, we need more adults that are willing to say, no, we can't afford this. The nation's broke. I mean, do we want the state to go the same direction? You know?
So Taffy, give us a kind of background of your race, who you're running against, and the area this your district covers.
Sure. So District 34 is pretty much the west side of Rapid. And so my opponent is Jason Green, former city attorney, now an attorney with Monument. And basically, you know, it's my opinion, he would simply be a lobbyist for Monument. So, and we don't need any more folks being lobbyists for special interests. So I tell people I will stand up for the citizens. I'm more along a populist line. I mean, some of the things I could tell you about why I went out to peer this year, and maybe it wouldn't matter to some people, but it did matter to a lot of people. And I don't know. So I picked bills that matter to just your average, hardworking, taxpaying citizens. You know, people are trying to stay in their homes. They want property tax relief. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it just hit Facebook today. But I guess our HHS agency is hiring a well-being coordinator.
I did see that.
Yeah, did you? Yeah. I'm like, Okay, see, that's the type of things that I'm like, okay, no one in this state is asking for that. No one except some agency head in DS or HHS that thinks that it would be just wonderful to have this for our state employees. Well,
I mean, there might be some state employees that think it's kind of nice to have somebody worried about their well-being a little bit. I don't disagree that it sounds a little goofy, but you know what I don't like? I got tagged into a bunch of Facebook pages, and a bunch of people who don't know how this works at all are just getting that thrown in their face like it's a victimizing thing. It's not. Is it a goofy job? Sure, but is it like all of a sudden some reach into the everybody's pockets? I don't. That's a bit of a stretch, don't you think, Tavi?
No. And I'm not saying that, but I am saying that most of our state agencies could be trimmed easily by 10-15%, and that would be an example of something that could be trimmed. And I believe in limited government. Do I believe that's the proper role of government, is to provide a well-being coordinator for state employees? No.
What does a well-being coordinator do? I didn't read the job description.
That is a good question. That's a very fair question.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's vital. I don't know.
They coordinate yoga days, I think, once a week.
Nah, see, now exactly. You're talking. West Side Rapid, Taffy, where a lot of hippie yogas. Come on, you can pander.
That's true, Taffy. You know, that's kind of a hippie district out there sometimes.
Well, the West Side of Rapid, you know, I don't know. It could also be called the Country Club Republican District. But that's no, I'm thinking, what are we going to do? Track everybody's steps, make sure everybody gets in 10,000 steps every day. I don't know. You know, most people who work in the private industry, they don't have that. I mean, it's just, it's one example of some of the many ways that we've expanded government over the years that just is not necessary. Another example. So sitting on a probes, we have 5 South Dakota public broadcasting channels. And a couple of years ago, they wanted to expand, add another channel. And that was when I was vice chair of House of Probes, and we had enough conservatives on a probes. If we just had a couple of senators to go along, we could kill that. We could stop that. We weren't even looking to cut. We just were looking to stop an expansion, a growth in government. And so there were these 2 senators who years ago had fought against South Dakota public broadcasting. They'd wanted to cut it. And so I thought, yes, we're going to get our senators. We're going to stop this expansion, not even a reduction, just stop the expansion. So I go up to those 2 and I'm like, okay, you know, will you guys get on board? Can we not add another channel that is really not necessary? And they're like, no. The last time we opposed South Dakota Public Broadcasting, they absolutely annihilated us in the media, and we can't do that. And I'm like, okay, is there any hope of reducing our government if we have nobody with the courage to actually say no to things like this, to a well-being coordinator? Yes, it may sound great. And you and I may love to have a well-being coordinator, but it's just not government's role.
So, Taffy, you mentioned you came up to, you went to Pierre a couple of times in the last session. What brought you up to Pierre? What were the topics that got you going out there?
Well, there were several, but the one that I went, I'm so frustrated with GF&P. I think they've forgotten their focus, and their focus is no longer on South Dakota citizens. So they had SB 56 this year, and it was basically to take a beautiful multi-use recreational trail, which you know, Doc, Mickelson Trail, maybe Jake, you've been on it too.
I have, yeah.
At world-class trail.
Now he's going to talk about water.
Multi-use, though. And I basically say they want to turn it into a high-speed bike path because they want all speeds of e-bikes on there. No restrictions, and e-bikes can go up to 30 miles an hour. Class 3s can go up to 28 miles an hour. And so I went out there. It was Becky Drury and I were the 2 opposing it. But you know, every person I talked to who told about the bill, they were like, absolutely no, they should not allow that. But that's what GF&P, I think, has strayed, because I also brought a bill a few years ago trying to give South Dakota residents priority in camping reservations in our state parks, just like Wyoming does. I think our citizens, especially in Custer, you know, we're kind of getting pushed out of our local state parks. So I wanted to address that. Very popular with the people. everyone who uses our state parks loved the idea. But GFMP has other ideas. I think they're all about setting record numbers and record revenue, and they have forgotten that their focus needs to be on what South Dakota citizens want.
I have, I should be able to quote the stat, but I'm on the dartboard if I'm a percent or two off. When we get our Lee Schoenbeck corrections on Saturday morning, this might be amongst it, Jake. I read somewhere that 62% of 62% of South Dakotans actually approve of a pipeline deal. That's a stat.
Wow, I had not seen that.
It's at least softly, right? Like not hardcore 62%, but like 62% of a poll taken recently said South Dakotans are at least softly before a pipeline like agreement.
Well, I think you would have to dig, you know, question the premise. What kind of pipeline? You have to get more details before. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I wouldn't read too much into that without. But if you want to talk about the pipeline, I mean, yeah, no, it doesn't.
I guess I bring that up to see what your thoughts on it, I guess, to be fair.
I think the pipeline, the CO2 pipeline, would not exist without the Green New Deal tax credits that are coming out of Biden's administration. So I think it's a farce. I think it would not exist without taxpayer money supporting it. And I'm not in favor of that. If it's a good deal, then it should be able to exist without taxpayer credits.
I'm curious. So, okay, I agree the Green New Deal stuff is dumb and should never have been passed a law. But if the Liberals and the Democrats are dumb enough to give us that opportunity, why wouldn't we take it, is my question.
Well, if all the landowners agreed, then I don't have a problem. But I'm not in favor of using eminent domain for private gain. I mean, I know that's kind of a cliche sound, you know.
It rhymes.
Yeah, you know, sounds good, but it's true. It goes back, what was the court case out on the East Coast for this woman lost her home? Was it, anyways, the court case where she lost her home to a shopping mall or something. It was so stupid, and it's like, we just don't need to keep going down this path of people losing their private property rights for private companies to make money. It's wrong.
Go ahead.
My viewpoint on it, at least, is that, I mean, we had, 80% plus of the farmers on board with it. We had pretty much every single landowning group behind it. So I don't see it seems entirely unfair that a small group of people can stand in the way of what is going to be good for a lot of South Dakotans, in my opinion.
Well, and I would probably agree with you if it was an electrical transmission line, if it was an oil pipeline. I mean, we need oil for national security. So I would agree with you on certain things that truly are what we need eminent domain for. We don't need eminent domain for a CO2 pipeline.
Well, if oil is for national security, I would argue that the economics of having a strong agricultural group is also good for national security. I mean, so I don't see how it's any different from oil in that sense.
Well, I would disagree. I mean, we need oil. Our military needs oil every day. They do not need captured CO2, you know, so.
Let's go back into your race a little bit. So you are okay. Up against Jason Green.
Yep.
And what would you say makes you uniquely different from Jason Green?
Well, I don't answer to any special interest group. I am the conservative in the race. I do have a record that proves that I don't just say that and go to peer and do something else. So I'm 100% rated with South Dakota Right to Life. I'm A rated with Family Voice, A rated with the National Rifle Association. I've won the Conservative Excellence Award from the American Conservative Union. So I have a record to prove that I don't just say that, I think too many people do say that and go to peer and vote opposite. I mean, I can tell you my first year in peer, me and somebody else were talking to this one gal. She was a West River legislator, and I'm not going to mention her name. But anyways, we went up and we were trying to get her to co-sponsor and support this bill. Don't remember the bill. It could have been the telecommunications tax reduction. I don't remember. But she just basically said, no, she's not going to support that. And nobody pays attention to how you vote once you go to peer. So you can say whatever you need to say, but you vote the way you need to vote when you're in peer. And I just, I just couldn't believe that. I'm like, I was still like naive that, you know, if it's a good conservative limited government bill, Republicans would get behind it. And she just kind of burst my bubble and went, wow, that's really sad. The top issue for me was when I was in the legislature before, and it will continue to be property tax relief. We haven't had any since Janklow in 95. He was the last time. So if you read LRC, LRC has an issue memo on this, which is a really good issue memo. Before Janklow, our property taxes were rising about 6% a year. After that property tax relief, he managed to get it down to about 5% a year. I want LRC to do the research and find out what it's done recently, because I would, at least in the Hills, and Doc, maybe you can attest to this, I run into people every day when I'm door knocking that tell me that their taxes have gone up 28%, 33%, 15%. It's just all over the board. And
I agree that it's a problem that needs to be addressed, but it's also the only reason you get that is because we are exploding in popularity and growth and business and you know, none of those benefits are free, right? And so like, right. But I also don't think you get to lay that at the feet of District 34 Senator. You know what I mean? The Hills aren't a secret. You know what I mean? Millions of people are coming more and more.
Could we go back to keeping it a secret? Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just so I'm not. Taffy, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just curious. I know this is kind of a big ask, but what's your solution? What would you like to see happen with tax relief? That's a big question because of property taxes.
Yeah. Well, there are several things that I did try, and I'm willing to try anything. You know, Prop 13 came out of California that restricts the growth in your assessed value to no more than 2% a year. Your taxes can't be more than 1% of your assessed value. I think that would be great. You know, I'm a math major. I like numbers. I like concrete. I'm a type A personality. Logic, you know, things need to make sense to me. I believe when you purchase your home, just like when you purchase your car, you purchase anything else in life, you should be able to look forward in time and see if you can afford that 20, 30, 40 years down the road. If we had something like Prop 13, you literally could do the math when you purchase your home and go, well, I know what the maximum taxes that I'll pay in 30, 40, 50 years will be. And you can, I mean, sure, things happen in life and maybe you still wouldn't be able to afford that. And I apologize, my cat is now deciding he wants attention.
Many a cat have been a guest on Dakota Town Hall. All good.
But you know what I mean? I mean, I think when you purchase your vehicle, you know what you're going to pay in taxes. You should not be in a guessing game as to whether or not you can stay in your home until you decide to leave versus being forced out because you can't afford the taxes anymore. So something along those lines. I also think we had excess revenue, I think almost every year that I was in PIER. And we used to have a property tax relief fund. Not a lot of people know that, but we did used to have a fund called property tax relief fund. I would be in favor of recreating that fund, putting excess revenue into that fund. You could do that. Now, some of the opposition to that was that, well, from year to year, you don't know what your tax relief would be. You know what? I don't care. I mean, most people will say, I'll take any property tax relief. You know, if it varies from year to year slightly, okay, it's still something. You know, so there's unclaimed property. We could take that money and use that for property tax relief. Both of the treasurers, when I was in there, were in favor of pulling that out of the general fund, because most people do see that as one-time revenue, so it shouldn't be used for ongoing expenses. So pull the money from unclaimed property out, use the interest from that for property tax relief.
We're talking to Taffy Howard, District 34, used to be 33 House Rep, now running for 34 State Senate. You know, I guess, can I get into it with a question with you? Not get into it. You're a limited government candidate. Okay.
Yes.
I agree with that. That's who I think you are as well. I believe you are authentic when you say that. Unfairly or not, you get camped in with a certain slice of the pie of the Republican Party, right?
Probably. And, you know, I think a lot of that is because I'm not afraid to just say it the way it is.
Well, that's one way to put it.
You know, I have been, I was denied a bill signing one time because I wouldn't go along. I was leading the opposition on a spending bill. And I had the chief of staff at the time call me up and basically say, you know, hey, if you don't quit leading the opposition on this, you're not going to get a bill signing ceremony. And I'm like, do you think I really care about a bill signing ceremony?
I can see some of that stuff. I can see some of you having some animosity, but I mean, in a little bit outside of you. I'm getting to my question. Okay. I would say, as a limited government candidate, fair or otherwise, you get put into the what the bloggers or Facebook would call the hard right camp, the more conservative camp. Maybe you would say, here's my deal: as a de facto leader, whether you ask for it or not, your side spends an awful lot of time telling Americans how terrible America is. And yet here we are in the Black Hills with an explosion in growth, and South Dakota is killing it. It's unfair to maybe say you guys when I say this, because I agree you deserve some separation from this. But that end of the party is mean and hateful, and I don't know why anyone thinks that's beneficial.
I'm going to tell you who's mean. So the other day I was going door to door. And they're on my list. They're supposed to be Republicans. So I knock on the door and I give them my RAC card. And I said, hi, I'm Taffy Howard. I'm running for state Senate in District 33. And, you know, just wanted to introduce myself, let you know who I am. I'm conservative Republican, and I'm pro-life, pro-family values, pro-Second Amendment. And she just attacked me. She came at me and she said, so does that mean you would get an F rating on separation of church and state? And she just was right in there. And I'm like, okay, you're not so-and-so, are you, from my list?
And I'm with you. I think those people suck, too. I think if you are running for office and you knock on a stranger's door, the last thing you should get, because no one really understands the time and commitment and service that takes to just run, let alone win. I'm with you on that. But I can't help strangers at the door. You can help your end of the party. If it's such a big tent, that side of the party, it shot first. In my opinion.
Well, how so? I would question the premise there.
Establishment Republican candidates aren't running ads about how it's a conservative contest. That can't be that up for debate, this schism in the party. I mean, you must see where I'm coming from here.
Well, there is definitely a schism in the party, that's for sure. And I think some in the party have left me. You know, I look at it as I am the Republican Party. I'm the base party. I can tell you what our platform says, and our platform believes that the proper role of government is to provide those critical functions which cannot be properly provided by individuals or organizations. So there's two qualifiers in there, critical and cannot. That's what I stand on. And if I don't group myself with anyone, that's just who I am. I mean, I take my stand where I take my stand. But I think some in our party, they have somewhat left they're still in the party, but they've kind of left the party because they aren't abiding by the platform. So I welcome anyone to our party, but I just want to say, this is our platform. We believe in limited government. So if you want to be in our party, welcome, but don't try to pull us to the left. Don't try to, you know, we have enough of that. I mean, we don't need to be pulled to the left as a country, as a state. You see what's happened. I mean, California used to be a conservative state. Now look at them.
So I'm curious then, would you group our two U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen then in that group that point to the left?
For sure, I would our congressmen.
I mean, well, that might be a little personal.
Quite on the record of that. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, well, anybody.
I'll say this. I do, regardless of, you know, ideology and all of that, I do appreciate you coming on this show. That says something. So, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't answer that email or send a little note about why they ain't going to.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, we are all still Republicans, and yes, we're going to disagree.
You remind your end of the party that, hey, we're not, because some of the party is trying to get some stuff done. Some of them are meeting at Pizza Ranch trying to secede.
Oh, I don't know about that, but we're...
Well, she is District 34 Senate candidate Taffy Howard. And I appreciate you coming on, both of us do.
Absolutely.
And Taffy, where can they find out more about your campaign, website, Facebook? Where can they find you?
Yep, they can go to my website, taffyhoward.com. They can call me. Well, reach out via Facebook, private message. Yeah. So Taffy Howard for SD is my Facebook page. So, yeah.
Thank you so much, Taffy. Really appreciate it a lot. And well, thank I think you. We'll go to break now, and we'll have our friend Michael Walsh come on afterwards. So thank you so much, Taffy.
Thank you.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners.
Do you love whiskey, but you feel lost in the world of peat and proof? Well, Whiskey at Work is your water cooler for all things amber. Join Rob and I for tastings, tips, and fun facts every once in a while. No suits, no snobbery, just good times and great pours. It's Whiskey at Work, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Mark Houston, the host of Doc Talk with Monument Health.
I tell people every organ in your body that has a blood vessel is affected by cardiovascular disease, by definition.
The average prostate in a young man in his 20s is about the size of a wall. And it can grow to the size of a softball.
He always tells the patient when we're together, he's like, I'm the kind of doctor that you want to see so you don't see my wife. So I really don't want our path to cross in the, in the clinic.
Doc Talk from Monument Health, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Slice offers essential podcast updates for Rapid City and the Black Hills, delivering local influence news alongside vital national and global stories with fresh episodes every morning. It's your perfect start to the day. Don't miss out. Subscribe to The Daily Slice on your preferred podcast platform.
And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
And welcome back to South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. You are on Dakota Town Hall. You might be listening here on the air in Rapid City, or maybe you're a podcast fan. If you want to spread the show around, just go to your favorite podcast player. You type in Dakota Town Hall, and lo and behold, you'll see Mr. Jake Schoenbeck in the east and myself, I'm Murdoch in the west. And sometimes you'll hear our producer, Austin. Thanks again to Taffy Howard for coming on.
Yeah, this week it's a bit heavy on the west side, I'd say, huh? It's about time you guys get a little bit of representation.
For weeks, we've been talking about stuffed animals or whatever Alex Jensen's city council race or whatever. You know, I mean, it's time. We're going to stretch our legs and head back to the seasonal beauty of the Black Hills and
Isn't
Senator
it
Mike Walsh. Yeah, it's raining.
It's raining and dreary out there.
Hey, man, so your power went out because of a squirrel or something I read this morning in Southeast. Why don't you back off, Jake? A rabbit or a squirrel or whatever, a deer was chewing on a line around Harrisburg and brought your four counties power down. We're at least, you know, don't you really? I don't know why that's your fault all of a sudden.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's Alex Jensen's fault and his terrible job on city council getting that taken care of.
We are continuing our district spotlights. We have been doing, as Jake said, West River districts this week. District 35, the incumbent is Senator Michael Walsh, who joins us on the show, who has the coolest Benjamin Franklin glasses there. That's pretty rad. Look how smart you look when you put them on.
Wow,
this is what happens when you get older and can't see 2 inches in front of your face, but you can see 2 miles away. This is what happens.
You know how
it's Mike Walsh, and then you put those on, it's Michael Walsh.
Michael. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go, Michael Walsh.
Let's go with that. That sounds fantastic. I agree. Let's go with Michael for the duration of this.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jake, you fire away, man.
Okay. Well, Senator Walsh, you came in from an appointment from Governor Noem towards the end of session, and you had the unfortunate, job of being next to my dad for the rest of that. And I apologize for anything that was said to you in the meantime. But tell us about your race, who you're running against, and the area your district covers.
Let me just clarify, though, Jake. Getting to be seatmates with your dad, I'm a very much a rule follower. I like rules a lot. And every time I had a question about procedure or what was going on with Mason's rules, he was right on the spot with answers to that because, I'm a little bit nerdy like that. I like things to go the way they're supposed to go.
Well,
so I really hope to get that.
If you're going to learn from a nerdy king, I mean, there ain't no better.
So, yeah, I'm fortunate to have been selected by Governor Noem to represent District 35. I know that she interviewed several people, and I'm sure all were qualified candidates, but I was very blessed to interview with her and be selected. And I really do think it's because you know, the unique part of District 35 is the military base. And I have a military background, spent 5.5 years in the Marine Corps on active duty, a few more in the reserves, deployed a couple times. But even on top of that, I'm a spouse of a military service member. And so I understand what families go through when their spouse deploys. I've been on that end of it a couple times now, and it's difficult, and families need support. And so in District 35, you have certainly a lot of service members, but you have a lot of service members' families as well. And so I believe that that's one of the reasons that I was fortunate enough to be chosen. My background in leadership and law enforcement probably didn't hurt, but I do believe that it's the perspective I bring with regards to the base that got me there.
Well, speaking of the base, I'm seeing in the news today, you were named, on the Senate side, it was you, and then on the House side, it was Representative Gary Kamak out of 29. And you guys are chairing an Ellsworth, it's called the Ellsworth Task Force?
That's right. It's, you know, with the expansion of the base, and Representative Kamak is a great selection because the base does go into Meade County a ways into his district. And so he'll be a fantastic resource on that particular committee. You know, the base is expanding. That's no secret. The Air Force has gone from, you know, intending to close the base down to keeping it open, and now to expanding it to bringing in, you know, the most advanced aircraft ever built by man in the next few years. And with that comes a lot of growth, and it's growth in the amount of airmen and their families. It's growth in the amount of civilian support staff. It's growth in the amount of, you know, peripheral economic growth that will happen. And then all of the money that brings in, to include, you know, the amount the Air Force is investing to build, which is greater than $2 billion. The excise tax that comes along with that. And then all the periphery things that comes along. And so there's a lot of challenges that'll be coming up in the next few years with regards to that growth. And it's all challenges that we can certainly meet with short range targets and long range targets. But we have to start now getting ready for that.
I personally am very excited about was it B-21? Is that the right
one? It is. It's the B-21.
They are so cool. I mean, it's just cool. You see those things flying once in a while, like it's a rare sighting, and they're just cool. So I'm excited for that. How much of the Air Force Base is your district, like population-wise?
The southern half of it, so most of the what we call housing area for enlisted is on that side. And there's on the north side of that line, the line is 225th Street, and so there's a good portion above it as well. But with regards to, like, where families live, the vast majority live in District 35. And I agree with you, Jake. The B-21 is fantastic, and I love the fact that it's called the B-21 Raider. And I get that it's an Air Force plane, but the Marine Corps has Raiders of its own, so it's just a kind of serendipity that I get to work on this.
It's very exciting. Okay, you kind of said, you know, why you are – I guess we'll ask that question. You're a Marine. Why are you unique for this position versus the other two people in your race?
Well, part of it is my connection with the military and both sides of that coin, having been both a military member and being a military spouse. That certainly is something that brings a perspective that my opponents don't have. Doesn't make them good or bad, just makes my perspective, in my opinion, better. It gives me a deeper understanding of what families go through, what service members go through, when deployments happen, when, you know, crises go on in the world. I mean, every few months there's something that happens in the world, and my household, the phone starts ringing. And so, you know, I have that perspective. On top of that, you know, in addition to that, my law enforcement background, I spent 26 years in law enforcement, and the better part of that, more than 13 years as an investigator, as a detective. My perspective on crime and victims is pretty expansive. I've been able to work every single type of case you can imagine. I've been able to work with victims. I was so fortunate in my career that when I retired, I had victims come to my retirement party, victims' families. It was really impactful to have them there. I will tell you that it was, you know, there were some tears shed, I will tell you. And so those two perspectives, you know, getting justice for those victims, that was super important for me.
So what do you, when you're talking to District 35, what are the things that District 35 cares about?
Well, as I went around knocking on doors, the vast majority of people are concerned about property taxes. Hmm. And while that is not as much a state issue as others, there's certainly some things we can do at the state level from a policy perspective that will help with those taxes. It's a matter of finding different ways to alleviate some of those taxes. People with home prices going, home values going up, naturally the taxes are going to go up as well. So that was a big thing. And even on that same track, finding housing as the base expands, as more people move to South Dakota due to, our nature here, our economy, our politics, more people come for our freedoms. Well, that naturally drives the home prices up, which naturally drives the home values up. And so
what's it like going from, you are an incumbent, but not necessarily, I would say, a true incumbent in some sense.
That's your knock, I guess, right? Like that'd be, right? If there's a knock on you, if I want to do a good job and make sure we're asking you the tough questions, right? So like the knock on you a little bit would be you're an appointed in, even though an appointment from Nome is quite an appointment, I think, in this state, at least in an election sense. Your experience is what I think they'll ding you with if they can.
And if I were to go further, I think some people could argue that you might be a rubber stamp for Nome. What would be your response to that question?
I have a couple responses to that. And you're right, I was appointed. This is not a direction I've ever saw my life going. This is not something that was ever in my wheelhouse. And so to get appointed is an honor. That being said, when I was knocking on doors, one of the first things I said was, hey, Mike Walsh got appointed by the governor, really honored. But I want to earn your vote. I want to earn the election as we go forward for this primary. And because I'm very cognizant of the fact that I was appointed and not elected. As far as the rubber stamp, it's too bad people can't be a fly on the wall in my conversations. Because what I'll tell you, and I said this to the governor is, I don't toe anybody's line. I think doing what's right is right, which meant I was on the, which meant I took some votes in Pierre this year that had me standing by myself. And not because of grandstanding, not because of sensationalism, because in my opinion, right is right. And, when I mentioned to the governor, I don't really toe anyone's line. I think she appreciated that. She was supportive of that. From my perspective, and I've had exactly one conversation with the governor. From my conversation with her, I don't think she's looking for a rubber stamp. She wants a good representative for the constituents in whichever district she's talking about.
Ian Fury, don't email us back either. Don't worry about it, Mike.
Well, it's hard to be a rubber stamp for Nome when you're next to Lee Schoenbeck, right, who's the heel to Nome half the time. So it's tough to be, a rubber stamp for her.
Also, you have nice teeth. You're fine. You don't need anything. Come on, one more week. No, okay. Everybody gets so quiet. Okay,
so right. Okay, Mike, I guess I don't know if we really asked this, why are you running? I mean, what's the reason for what's your 30-second? This is why I'm Mike Walsh.
Well, I'll give you the 35-second, because the first 5 seconds is a continuation of my conversation with the governor. She asked the same thing, am I going to run? And while it never crossed my mind to enter politics, I'm not really the kind of person who half-asses anything. And I said, if you appoint me, I will in fact run. And the reason I'm running is because of those things, those perspectives I bring to, this area and this district in particular, with the military base, with growth. I believe I can do some good. I believe I bring a perspective that others don't. I'm not going to knock my opponents. I just don't believe I need to do that. But the leadership I bring, I have a track record in leadership. I was a leader in the Marine Corps. I was a leader in law enforcement. I was a leader outside of law enforcement in nonprofits and volunteer organizations.
He's also a boxing coach.
And I'm a boxing coach. And that, in a sense, is leadership. I get to lead these young men and women who want to learn how to box. And you throw all those things together, I think I can do some good. And it just ties back to the whole rubber stamp thing. I can do some good. I have leadership. I'm willing to make tough decisions. I haven't talked about making difficult decisions. I've made difficult decisions, and not just at the strategic level, not just at the, you know, theoretical level. I've had to make life or death decisions, not only for me, but for other people. And that brings a life perspective that I think is unique among the candidates for this spot in District 35.
Well said. Well said. Well, Murdoch?
Hold on a second. We got... Here's the question. I mean, this could cost you the race, buddy. So really contemplate this. Who's got the best burger? I'm about to find out if you're an East River plant. Who's got the best burger in South Dakota?
If you'd really like to know, my wife does. So, I mean,
Nice save. Nice
no one's
save.
Answered that yet.
No one's, I don't believe anyone has said my wife's answer. Burger yet, which is pretty surprising.
Well, here's the thing. We don't eat out a great deal. We really like to cook at home, and I do a lot of the cooking. That being said, my wife has perfected the art of smash burgers.
Nice.
In tortillas. And it is absolutely my favorite. And I'll tell you, an added part of that is we buy our beef from a local rancher. We get a quarter beef every 7 months or so.
Nah, there you go. Nice way to tie it in. I knew it was coming.
And that's not even an intentional tie-in. That's the reality. You know, I'm an urban kid. I grew up in a very urban area. I had beef. It's at the corner store. That's where I'm going to get it. And now that I'm getting my beef from, you know, we use two different local ranchers. You ask me what the best burger is. I don't go out and eat burgers anymore. I eat them at my house because that beef, I don't know what they're doing with this cattle, but whatever it is, it's working. It's absolutely fantastic.
Mike, you're from Sioux Falls, right? Is that correct?
Originally?
Yeah.
I was born in Portland, Maine. I grew up in Portland, Maine.
Did you live in Sioux Falls for a while?
I did. That's where I spent my career. Yep. My career, after getting out of the Marine Corps, that's where I moved. And that's where I spent my career in law enforcement. And I retired one day, and 2 weeks later was...
You didn't end up in Watertown? Shocker.
I mean, I was telling Murdoch when he got a point. I mean, you know, East River's so good, they couldn't even find a West River guy to fill your position.
You'll notice after you're done in a career of being a Marine and a detective, you don't, you know, head up to Watertown. You come to the Black Hills.
We're at Leandana like a third of the year. What can I say?
Exactly right. And, you know, it helps with the connection with the base, with my wife being a service member. I mean, sure.
Because we're not very professional, we forgot to ask Taffy what her favorite burger was. So I emailed her. It's hands down the Sugar Shack Sugar Burger, which is a respectable choice. I'll give it to her.
That's the third time that one's come up.
It's popular. So, that's how good it is, buddy.
It is good. I'll
have to try that one.
Good.
Okay, well, his name is Senator Mike Walsh. He's the incumbent in District 35. He is running for your vote, West River people. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure to chat with you guys today. Really great questions. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome to stay around for the part where we didn't prep and we kind of just, you know, slowly glide to the end.
And the turtle dies off.
I'll stick around. Let's see what you got.
All right. Jake, I want to tell us again. 62% of people at least softly support. There's a poll coming out. You're going to see this. 62% of the people at least softly support the pipeline, which tells me maybe the noise about pipelines and all of these people trying to, you know, there's people running out west trying to say we can eliminate all property taxes, which probably sounds good in the campaign, but maybe the noise isn't the majority.
Are you telling me on the pipeline that the smallest amount of people are the loudest voices in the room? I would never believe that.
I think that is what I'm saying.
I have some insight into that, and this is what I've noticed when change happens: is the people that dislike it are the people least affected by it. And the people that I spoke to in Pierre that were going to be the most affected by this particular bill were all for it. Every last one of them. There wasn't a single one who was directly affected, not in a theoretical sense and not in a, not in a sense where, you know, they were reading something into the bill that just wasn't there. The people that were going to be most affected by that were for it.
I mean, if you look at the people in favor of it, that lobbied in favor of it. I mean, South Dakota Ethanol Producers, of course, but it's South Dakota Corn Growers, South Dakota Soybean Association, South Dakota Ag Alliance. I mean, it's the landowners that are in favor of this bill when it comes to who's lobbying for this.
Not just the landowners, though. You know, every farmer I spoke to, I mean, corn, while we were in session, I believe, hit a 4-year low. And they need you know, some place to send their corn. And the stat I heard was 2/3 of the corn that's grown here in South Dakota ends up going to an ethanol plant. And they need some place to bring that. And this directly affected them.
I heard a real, they were trying to be a little funny, but it was telling. It was like, you know, $3 corn is $3 corn. You know what's better than $3 corn? $6 corn. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good note.
That was Chrissy Golden last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was who it was, wasn't it?
Last okay, week, Chrissy Golden, yeah.
Well, and then on that note, right, it's scorecard season. I'm seeing everybody and their hillbilly cousin has a scorecard all of a sudden. I guess I'd say this, Jake, and to you, Mike. You know, make sure that see if they... Here's my sniff test on scorecards. Did they pick it before, or did they pick the issues they're voting on after to, you know, zhuzh up what they're trying to do? And no matter the side, no matter the point, no matter if I think it's a good card or a bad card, the thing you got to sniff test it for is, did they hand write it and change the votes and blah, blah, blah? That's what happens.
You know, in my limited experience there, the scorecards, my issue with that is the scorecards topics tend to be very black and white. And honestly, the devil's in the details. If there's a bill coming forward that sounds really, really, really great and fantastic, yet the details of it could lead to some unintended consequences that are not so fantastic, you know, we're obligated to vote against it. Or the opposite is true. If something doesn't something that we all are against, but then we look at the devil in the details and it's like, okay, it's not the horrible thing that we thought it was. It is actually going to do some good, and we end up voting for it. That's my issue with these scorecards, is they fail to take into account the details in each and every bill. They simply go by a title. And, you know, I'm not all about sensationalism. Sensationalism in politics to me means you're trying to get famous, or you're trying to, I don't know. But to me, you have to look at the bills for what they're saying in the text, not with the titles.
Well said.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Bad news, Mike. You're gonna get more scorecards as your life progresses.
It's scorecard season, man. It really is.
Hey, great.
So we're wrapping up here. We're gonna get timed out a little bit. We probably got time for maybe one or two more things. Jake, I'll let you pick. 68% of South Dakota thinks blank, or Murdoch's mailer notes. What would you like?
Murdoch's mailer notes. Let's hear that. I don't want stats.
Okay. Okay, very good. So I'm getting a couple notes on mailers. I'm getting every District 30 mailer sent to me. Everyone, they're holding on to all of them. I think there's going to be perhaps it's going to be Dakota Town Hall's first book. I'm really hoping I'm really setting the bar real high, Jake. Real high, Jake.
Can't wait to see it.
Okay, so here's what I'm noticing, and listen, this is my opinion, only my opinion. You could feel free to disagree with me, and maybe you're right. I'm seeing it's. It's a conservative Republican primary, right? Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing a lot of, like, one AI image away from, like, an actual endorsement where, like, hi, I'm Jesus H. Christ, and I'm reaching out to you to see if you have a minute to discuss districts.
A lot of crosses, a lot of doves.
Crosses, a lot of Bibles, like, holy buckets. There's religious and there's ridiculous. And some of you are on the line. Looking at you, District 30.
Mailers have been pretty soft in my district. I don't know about you, Mike. My mailers have been just intro mailers so far. Everybody in my district so far.
Yeah, well,
nice.
I don't think any voter really, any legit real voter likes the negative stuff. My mailers, like yours, are just talking about me and
so
my
far.
Positivity.
It's round one, round two. Bring. First round of the fight. No one really throws bombs. You're just, it's jabs and moves. Come on, man.
See, mine are negative, but they're negative about Michael Roll. I just send those, I send those out. I send That's negative true. Ones in my district against Michael Roll, actually.
I'll say this. The first weekend after some of the real bummers come out on you, I don't want to be in boxing class because you know what? Who wants to get in the gym with me and work some things out and put on 12s?
Sunday is sparring day. If you guys
want to
swing by, we
can do it. Nope, I don't. Yeah, I don't.
You just put him up on the in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yep. No one's described me as a big guy, Mike. You've met me. So I think I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And, you know, I make light, but all those men and women that I box with on the base whoop my butt every week anyway. So, yeah, they take the fight out of me pretty quick.
No, I'm not, again, I'm not trying to say don't, you know, if you are religious, careful of the religious litmus test to you, the voter, but it's the South Dakota primary, so I realize where we are here. But, you know, it don't have to be a contest to some of you candidates, you know what I mean? You're not trying to win a papal advocacy, you are trying to win a state senator gig. Just you know, yeah.
It's going to be a good book. Good book, Murdoch.
Oh, I can't wait. Chapter 2, Julie Fry Mueller.
One more thing before we head out. The runoff for city council in Sioux Falls is April 30th. Go out and vote for Richard Thomason. He's a great guy. Definitely has my endorsement. So go out there and vote April 30th.
You can early vote on that too, right?
Good question.
I know. In fact, I know I read this. You can early vote now if it's a little easier for you, but then the election day is next. I think you can even like early vote up to Saturday, but maybe you should check on that.
So vote Richie.
I want to thank our guests, incumbent Senator Mike Walsh from District 35 running in reelect, and also Taffy Howard from District 34, who, you know, I think we ask from time to time the harder right side to come on to the show, and not every time do they want to come on. So I think hats off to Taffy for, indeed, you know, putting on the 12s, as Senator Walsh would say.
Nice reference. I like it. I like it.
From the East, his name is Jake Schoenbeck. You can find him on a few different deals. Jake is running for District 2 House of Representatives, and we're obviously supporting him on this show, barely. Yeah, you got a deal?
One last thing. Thank you to everybody that showed up to my fundraiser on Tuesday. It was a fantastic time, and thank you so much.
Were there 80 people? From Jake in the East, I'm Maraga in the West. This is Dakota Town Hall.
See you next week.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Tai. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Jake Schoenbeck and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice Audio production.